Ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely thank you for now being part of segment two of this program 13 of The Bigger Picture, the final program in the series of America's past, present, and future written in black and white to precede the final four segment The Bigger Picture series called The Bigger Picture, It Is What It Is, which will begin next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I am struggling at this moment. I ask you to bow your heads and listen while I talk to my Father for just a moment. My Father in heaven, I believe that this is an important program that you have given me the privilege to pronounce to those ears that you have made available to listen. I ask three things, Father God. I ask that I speak truth only and that no error creeps in spite of my human frailties. I ask you, Father God, that this program, these words I speak, particularly in this final program 13 today, that it will bear fruit, good fruit. And lastly, Father, I pray that the words I speak today somehow, in spite of my role in life as just an everyday Joe, that these words will strengthen the crumbling foundations of America. And I know that important question from Psalms 11:3 should be ringing in every heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? Help me, Father, to get through this program in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we continue segment two of program 13. And as I did in the previous segment and also in program 13, I want to read to you a letter that I wrote now immediately after 9/11. I went back, I've gone back in recent months, and I've been reviewing things that I said and that very well-known authors have said in the 90s, because that was, according to Peter Drucker, The New Realities, a mountain pass that we went through, through which we will never return to the same America again. And then 10 years later, it had matured, and some men I respect deeply were beginning to write some things that are reflected in my words here that you're going to hear. That I wrote to Mr. Robert R. Henderson, the editor of Clay Today, that's the community newspaper, small newspaper in Clay County, but an important one. And you remember from several programs ago, I read a letter that I wrote to the Graham Media Group, and I said in that that I believed that the media was as responsible as anything else for the decline of America. And so I want you to hear what I said to Mr. Henderson and then compare it today to today, if you will. Here it is. Dear Mr. Henderson, thank you for allowing me to have a few moments of your time yesterday, especially since I hadn't called for an appointment, and it was very presumptuous in asking to see you as a walk-in. As an ordinary, everyday citizen of this country, I don't merit any particular special attention, but at the same time, neither do I deserve any less attention than the shakers and movers. My experience has been that as Americans, and quite contrary to what we think ourselves to be, we are most definitely great respecters of persons, giving the better places in church to the well-heeled and the rudder of society's ship to those of notorious celebrity. In this we err greatly, I think, and call your attention to Ecclesiastes 9:13-17 is the gist of what I mean. It's why I came to see you. Historically, newspapers have been the thorn in the side of the politically powerful, as well as the strong-willed affluent who sought to impose their desires on the commoners. Newspapers served a vital social role in calling attention to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says in Slowing Down for the Purpose of Reflecting Examination, those popular issues being pushed along by the momentum of community emotions. I do not believe such is generally true of most newspapers today, and I believe there are two primary reasons. Here they are. The first is simple economics. Newspapers have become very big businesses whose roots go down into a new soil that replaced the earth which once fed them. In a different age, people bought the newspaper because it was the primary source of reports on critical events, but it was also the only quick source of baseball scores and locations of debutante balls for those who did not care a twit about world events. I speculate that the greatest share of revenue for newspapers of old came from subscription, street sales, and the grocery store ads. I do not speculate in saying that such is not the case today. A great master, commercial advertising, now pays the bills and calls newspaper by exposing and calls the shots. Carl Cannon, past head of Florida Times Union, can pretend to operate a hard-hitting newspaper by exposing long-existing and well-known corruption in certain departments of Duval County government. What does that cost him? But that august publisher of the Times Union would not and could not expose any links between some large car dealerships and organized crime, if such exist, or in the usurious and manipulative practices of the finance offices of those same entities which do exist. They represent a huge cut of that newspaper's advertising revenue. They own Cannon. I'll speculate that most old newspapers once were driven by ethic based on discovering truth and promoting justice. I know that most newspapers today are driven by the imperatives of revenue and revenue generation to meet profit quotas levied by the myriad business tycoons that now govern in place of the old line publishers. Perhaps the name of your parent company, Ad Incorporated, rather than News Incorporated, for shall we say, makes my point for me. If not, the book, The Chain Gang by Richard McCord, will do so. It was published in 1996. The second reason for believing that the essential nature of the newspaper business has changed rests in the fact that the media as a whole has abandoned its historical role of perpetual watchdog and has actually become an advocate for the new status quo. What newspapers once opposed as a general rule, the hegemony of the entrenched white male, has passed away. Its passing was first noted in, to some degree, in Peter Drucker's book, The New Realities, in 1989, and is validated in the ranks of women now comprising the majority of law and medical students in American educational institutions. Ironically, what has now evolved today is a horrendously unbalanced system wherein the former disenfranchised, have gained in amazingly short time a degree of control that is most unhealthy in its absoluteness. Additionally, this new world order is championed by the one agency that has historically had the role of being the loyal opposition to all those who exercise power over people and institutions. The awful result of this perversion is the exchange of one form of injustice for a greater monster of inclusion that will cost our culture its life, according to the works of great psychohistorians like Arnold Toynbee and Oswald Spengler. The papers and advertising cash cow needing to remain politically correct, and it has supplanted the local paper as a necessary social tool for checks and balances, supporting its efforts by many faithful advertisers and subscribers. I'm going to pause there as we go to the break and continue to read the few remaining paragraphs, and then I want to make some comments that I believe you'll find, maybe disturbing. I thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope that you will come back for segment 3. God bless you.